Welcome to the podcast here with your friends from the Everyday Nerd podcast crew. I'm Lou P, along with the great Joss.
Hi, everybody.
And obviously missing from us today is DJ GOC.
The hustler.
Yes.
He's hustling right now.
He's taking care of business, so unfortunately he couldn't join us today. But I'm sure we'll hear some comments. He'll say his opinions. Yep. You'll see him on there. He may even do like a video comment
podcast,
which is kind of cool.
Come on,
let's
see you. Count you out.
But this is our podcast on Spider-Man Far From Home. And Joss, give us a little how folks can hear our podcast.
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so quick housekeeping. If you are wondering, hey, where can I hear you guys? Well, we are on iTunes and Spotify. You just got to type in the Everyday Nerd Podcast, as well as on our website, the Everyday Nerd Podcast. So that's where you can find us. This video is going to be on YouTube, on my channel, Jocelyn RP. And please hang out with us on our Facebook page, Everyday Nerd Podcast. So, you know, those are the main words, the Everyday Nerd Podcast. And you just got us. So, hey.
Exactly. So some of you folks that are into downloading podcasts, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes. If you're stuck in traffic, you could hear the greatness that Joss and myself will present. And today we're presenting for Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yes.
And of course, when Joss does the housekeeping stuff, I obviously start off our podcast with the most important part that Disney and Marvel are concerned about. It's not about entertaining you folks.
Money.
No, it's about the money. So, coming out the figures right now, it's so far Spider-Man Far From Home has made $580 million worldwide, $29 million alone just on IMAX. So if you watched it in IMAX, you're part of that $29 million group. And it earned a whopping $185 million in its first 6 days domestically. China hooked it up also in 8 days with $144 million. Yeah, I think this movie is steamrolling and making money. And what's great about it, too, is that, you know, we recently had two movies released that were supposed to piggyback previous franchises in the X-Men and Men in Black. Not so well. And you figured people were tired of it? I guess not.
You know what? Marvel has had a big year. And we're
definitely
only, like, what, the first 6 months of this year?
Yeah,
And we've had already three big movies from Marvel.
They know what they're doing there, obviously.
Captain Marvel, Endgame, and Spider-Man.
Yes.
So this is a very lucrative year.
So, of course, they're going to make a lot of money. And by them making lots of money, let's hope for us, not only are we donating to the cause, but they're making more movies for us to watch later on.
Yes.
Hopefully good quality. Nothing like the folks from Fox created with the X-Men, but we won't get into that. We'll get into that probably later on in a future broadcast. But, of course, like we said, we're talking about Spider-Man Far From Home. And, Joss, let the folks know, you know, how did you feel when the movie started and everything?
Before I even entered the movie theater, I was still kind of feeling some effects from Endgame, right? Mm-hmm. With all the emotional toll. I mean, we knew that we weren't going to have any Tony in this movie. However, we did. We did get some Tony in this movie. You know, so just in general, I kind of liked it because, you know, it's from Endgame, there was so much of an emotional toll. And then knowing that we lost like some major Avengers and to know where are we going next with this movie, it was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good. And then, you know, just seeing the effects on Peter Parker and just his character. I just thought, you know, Tom Holland, I think he's so charming.
Mm-hmm.
He's cute, you know, and he's just got such a fun personality. But you can definitely tell that he definitely is Tony's protege. But he doesn't know it. It's just during this movie he had to, like, discover who he was. So it was good. I liked the action. It wasn't like a, you know, I'm at the edge of my seat like a, you know, Endgame. But it was still a good story to tell because we just finished, like, this huge movie. So
exactly. So coming into this movie, my thoughts were kind of the same way. I try to keep the expectations low.
Right.
So I wouldn't be disappointed.
Right.
But obviously with the two Avenger movies, no, my expectations were up there.
Oh, yeah.
They had to be up
there.
But coming into this one, you kind of anticipated what you were going to see. you know, a lot of dedications to Tony Stark, Iron Man. Again, nothing new. We're not giving away any spoilers on this one. If you've seen the previous movie, or when I mean previous, the Avengers movie.
Right, right.
That Tony Stark is no longer with us. The Iron Man's no longer with us. Steve Rogers. Now, I didn't say Captain America. I said Steve Rogers is no longer with us. And of course, Black Widow. So, I'm sorry, Joss. Sorry, Joss, about that.
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't even watch any of the Spider-Man trailers, to be honest. Yeah. So, I really stayed away from the trailers. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I knew it was out there. And I came into this movie completely, no bias.
Yeah, now, again, a lot of you folks that are listening or watching us are probably comic book geeks and fans and stuff like that. So, when you saw certain characters in the trailers and you see what's going to happen, you kind of anticipated what that character was or who it was. So a lot of people kind of had an idea, yet they didn't, which I kind of liked how they did this movie. Again, you have to separate what's going on in MCU to what you read in the comics, which, you know, it's kind of hard for some folks. Seriously, it's like, wait a minute, he's supposed to be this.
Right.
Why is he that? So, again, it's 2019, folks.
And
things
this
are going
to
change.
And it just goes to show that there's still so much more storytelling that Marvel's got is planning to give us. Mm-hmm. Because, and I love how there's this continuation. There's always, with the Marvel movie, there's some sort of tie into, you know, one of the previous movies. And then at the end of the movie, then they start to tie us into, like, some future movies. Right?
Yeah,
and so there's always this connection.
To me,
that's like, yes, we're just continuing on this whole journey.
That's not done by accident. See,
no,
they're creative in that.
And they're planning, you know, phase four, which
exactly.
I did not read the article yet. So I don't know.
We're now heading into phase four, and you see the planning, how they do it at the MCU compared to DC. Anyways, we won't get into that. But just the fact that they had the foresight and what they, and quite honestly, a lot of us don't know what phase four is going to lead us to,
right.
But I'm pretty darn sure they do. They already know. Now, obviously, we're doing this in July. The big Comic Con is next month.
It's later this month.
Sorry.
In 2 weeks.
So while we're doing this podcast, you know, Marvel's going to reveal some stuff there. You know, right now we're doing a podcast without what Marvel's going to do, but they obviously have the game plan.
Yeah.
They obviously have the tracks laid down. So, folks, what's great about this, and I take it back to when we were doing Avengers Endgame, trying to predict what they're going to do, what's going to happen. I love it how nobody kind of saw it coming, yet you felt you knew that Chris Evans wasn't going to be back. You knew Rob Downey Jr. wasn't going to be back, but how were their characters were going to be not back
and it's cool because in this movie, like I said, there were some interesting ways they weaved some past footages to where it's like, hey, there's Tony.
Exactly.
So I'll talk about that.
So let's get into this movie right now. So go right ahead,
Josh.
All right.
So we're gonna just talk. You know, if you've seen it already, great. If you haven't, so sorry.
If you haven't seen this movie, come back
and then watch us or put it on your ad to watch later.
There you go.
Guys, but I'm going to get started. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in the beginning of the movie, you know, it opens up with Nick Fury and Maria Hill, and they're walking around New Mexico. Well, they're in New Mexico. And this town that they're in has been completely destroyed, but yet you see something come from the ground, and it was an element of air.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's going on with all this wind? Or it could be air. It's got to be air, if I'm thinking about it. But then you see, you know, Mysterio, which, like, I want to just say his, like, choice of costumes, interesting. Because, you know, the top part's like a crystal ball, and then, you know, with a cape on. It's just, you know, it reminds me of, now I think about it, Jack in the Box.
Really?
How you have that ball. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's what I was, I don't know, I was seeing other things like, interesting choice. But anyways, it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he's supposedly, I guess, now the new Avengers. So I'm like, okay, I guess they're going to fit him in. But, you know, it opened up and they actually showed, they did teenagers. And they were like in their local high school, newscast. And they're like talking about how it's been a tough year.
how the blip happened, as they described it, when you know, half a billion people, that they all disappeared. And then they actually showed scenes in the high school where at that time, you know, they were in PE in the gym, they're all playing dodgeball, and then 5 years later, they show up, and now they're in a football field, and they're still playing dodgeball, comes back, still throwing some dodgeballs. So, yeah. You know, to the band people. But they talked about how, you know, with the kids, even though that they grew up and 5 years had passed for them, now they're, like, older. They've got to be, what, if you're a freshman, and you, I mean, 5 years later, if you're a freshman, then you got to be, what, 1 year out of college?
Yeah, 1 year in college already.
But they said, okay, let's all reset everyone back and do this year over again. You know, so that's kind of odd and peculiar. But that's what happened. So that's what happened, trying to get everyone back on the same level. But, you know, they did. I felt kind of sad because it just, you know, they rehashed and brought everyone up to speed by talking about how we lost Iron Man, Black Widow, and Captain America. Or excuse me, Steve Rogers. But then at that point when I saw it, I was like, well, wait a minute. Captain America didn't die. But yet to them, they did. You know, he did.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's like,
according to the world, he's not around.
Right. He's
but
not
again,
around.
You'll start, we'll start chasing the tail on
right,
that.
Right.
So we won't get into
we
that.
We won't do that today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so then it showed, you know, it showed with Peter Parker and Ned and the class. They're going on this trip to Europe.
My son, Ned. My son, I am so proud. Anyway, please keep going, Joss. I am so proud of my son.
We will get to him in a moment because we're going to talk about
so
what happened.
I'm so proud of my
this.
Son. My boy, my son.
But I mean, with Peter, you know, I mean, from what he's been dealing with, you can already tell from the very beginning, you know, he, and as he's packing for this trip, he doesn't want to bring his spider suit. You know, he wore his suit for his Aunt May, you know, and I guess it was Aunt May, she also disappeared and she talked about mm-hmm. that. And so she, you know, you see, because she already knows that he's Peter Parker. Remember that last?
Yeah.
She's like, what the frick?
Yeah.
So, you know, she knows, but it's just kind of interesting how, you know, she's like, don't forget to pack your suit.
Yeah.
You might need it, but he didn't want to bring it, you know.
Yeah.
But she still packed it in there. And I thought it was pretty funny when you went into the TSA and then they actually saw the suit, but they probably were like, okay, whatever, kid.
Yeah,
kid likes
he's cosplaying.
He's cosplaying. He's going to a comic convention.
Exactly. He's cosplaying, so I don't mind him.
You know, but it was pretty funny. But you know what? I felt bad because no matter where he goes, he was really trying to just block that past out. He was really trying to block the fact that he lost his mentor, and that was a huge figure to him. You know, Tony
Definitely.
Was a huge figure to him. And so, you know, he's still heartbroken. He's still mourning. But wherever he looks, he's reminded because he always sees his image of Tony.
Yeah, that was really interesting how they, in a way, which is kind of interesting, I thought a lot of the, and I'm going to put it in air quotes, the cameos of
yes.
Tony Stark or
yes.
Iron Man all over the world.
Right.
It was kind of like the replacement of Stan Lee's cameo.
Exactly. You know, I was waiting, and it was weird because.
Yeah, you're waiting for the Stan Lee cameo.
Did you feel like, in the movie there was that one part, and I forgot which part it was, but it was like, okay, he's going to show up any moment
now. Yeah, like
now.
A crowd, there was a crowd shot
yeah,
or something. Yeah,
yeah.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, he's not here either. You know, because I felt like, oh, wait, I was waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, did you see Uncle Ben's reference? This
oh,
is
yeah.
the case?
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
The
up
initials
on that very
BFP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, ooh, Uncle Ben.
Yep.
You know, so I was like, okay, my eyes were quick to see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, his plan he just wanted to focus on MJ. He wanted to just be a normal teenager. He wanted
exactly.
to focus on his crush. He wanted to, like, meet her up at the Eiffel Tower, give her a necklace, and then just kiss her. That's all he wanted.
Want to be the big romantic.
Right? It's just a simple life. That's all he wanted. Kiss the girl, right? Just like Little Mermaid. You got to kiss the girl.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what he was looking to do.
That's all he wanted. And so he didn't want to, you know, be an Avenger. I think he probably, at that moment, he probably just did not want to deal with any Avenger work.
Pretty much. And
right?
The way I look at it, he summed it up that in a way it was. He wanted a vacation from
right.
everything he just
but then,
dealt with.
But then when he saw Happy,
yeah.
Happy's like, hey, Nick wants to talk. Nick Fury's trying to reach you.
He's
like, no, I don't want to talk to Nick.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you don't. I can't get that phone. He's
yeah.
mean to me. You
exactly.
can try. He's like, no, I don't want to. And so he's just avoiding him.
Mm-hmm.
He's avoiding Nick Fury at like whatever he could do. He's just avoiding him.
Oh, that, you know, so what's really good about this is the fact that, like you mentioned, he said it. You've seen it in the trailers and you kind of feel it that he just wants to be a normal teenage kid.
Yeah.
But also, Ned brought it up, the fact that, look, you came from space, you did this and that, and why are you tripping now, type of thing, when they're, when he's going. And it's like Ned's trying to say, you've done this, yet you're tripping about that. Yet I understand what Peter's going through, the fact that, yeah, because I did all that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to, you know, I just want to relax. I want to chill.
I mean, think about, I mean, if you really even kind of think about it, look at Peter and like that endgame battle with Thanos.
Exactly.
That was insanely, I mean, is it traumatic? I don't know, but I mean, probably traumatic that he lost his mentor, but I mean, that was, what other 16-year-old kid does
exactly.
that?
Exactly. You know, really, in all honesty, he should go through some, like, PTSD type of thing,
yeah, post-traumatic PTSD
right. type of stuff. For that, for one, knowing he dissolved. Two, taking on a universe destroyer.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, all that. And
it
so,
he was in war. Okay,
so
this
16-year-old
was in war, so he did not want to bring that
it's
suit
like,
with
look,
him.
I just want to be a normal kid. I get that too,
I
kind of felt for him, but you know, my son just
did. You
being...
think? Yeah, but did you think Peter was just a little bit obsessive with Mary J for a little bit? I mean, he kept staring at her.
You know what the sad thing about this? And here we go. All right, the sad thing about this is, I, in a way, I'm kind of like Peter Parker in high school when it came to girls. You know, yes, folks are going, they're laughing their heads off. Here comes the comment button from all these people I know. They're going to say one thing. But quite honestly, I was like Peter in being like, I wanted to be that helpless romantic when it came to somebody I admired and all that. And, you know, yeah, I'd be slow. I wouldn't have the courage, which is funny. Coming from Peter Parker, like Ned said, you just went up against this guy, yet you're scared to talk to her or say plan?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
I just love Ned. Just his reasoning. He's like, listen, we're supposed to be American bachelors in Europe. And then what happens? So they're on the plane. And then it's like, look, just track whatever you can do so I can sit next to MJ. But then it, like, backfired.
Yep, totally
so
backfired.
So he's in that because he had an allergy to perfume or cologne. But then here's your son. He sits next to this... What was her name? Oh, yeah, Beth?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Or somebody will correct us if
we're
wrong.
Yeah, but you know,
but
when you're sitting next to a stranger, you're like,
well,
okay,
I mean, they go, they're in the same class, but they don't really talk, I would think. Or they go to the same school, you know, and so.
It was so funny. But, I mean, here he is like, oh, my gosh, MJ's talking with, you know, her. But then it's just hilarious. Now, let's just talk about your son and his game.
Please.
Let's talk about Lou P. Jr. and
I'm
his
proud
game.
Of him because he does stuff in high school that I couldn't do. See, that's what I'm proud of him about. He took care of, you know, see, that's the thing. First of all, he had the American Bachelor plan for you.
Yeah.
You got to love that to begin with. Then he's like, you know what? I have plan B. I'm hooking up with somebody.
Well,
this is cool.
He didn't pay attention to her if you really think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just like, hey, what's up? And then she sees like, what are you watching or something? What are you doing? He was just like, yeah. And then the turbulence happened. And then they touched hands.
Yep.
Next thing you know, it's hilarious. Next thing you know, they come out and they're like, hey, babe.
He's
hi,
like,
babe.
That was just awesome. And that's the thing. I am so proud of him. That's something I couldn't pull. I'm proud of my son for being able to do that in high school. I couldn't do that in high school. High school, I was, no. See, that's why I'm proud of him for going to Europe and doing that, hooking up in Europe. Now, you know, we have different levels of hookups. They're in high school, so we'll keep it lower.
Right.
But it's great how he's like, hey, I got a girlfriend now. And Peter's like, wait a minute. What just happened in this flight?
We just, what? And then they're like, hi, babe.
I know.
Hey, babe. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
We have the same thoughts.
That was
wow.
Awesome.
It was
awesome.
And it was
I
just,
am
you
so
know,
proud
I thought that was the most funniest thing where all this stuff is happening, then it focuses back on these two lovebirds.
Yeah, see.
And they're like, hey, okay.
I know, which is great, which is totally great. I was so proud of my son. He did me well. I am so proud of him. He did well in Europe. He, you know, was helping his buddy out, trying to get his buddy's car. See, I'm thinking of it like a dad. My son is getting his buddy's confidence back and what he does well, and he's dating. Yeah, that's cool. I like it. And... well, then we'll get that later. But I just like what he does.
But you
I like
know what's
what he
funny?
Does.
Let's just kind of, I gotta just kind of. Well, I won't go there yet.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say it, but I got
yeah,
no.
I
let's,
know, but,
yeah, let's
okay.
Wait.
But I mean, so they're on their trip, you know, and you know, everything that Peter wants to happen is not happening. But here we are, you know, they're in this place, and then he walks into a room with Ned, and there's I was going to call him. Yeah, Nick Fury shoots him with the tranquilizer.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
And he's like, you know, you're hard to check because you're trying to, like, you're ghosting me.
Oh, what was great about that scene, because that was kind of like in the trailer, but what's great about that scene when it expands more, how everybody kept knocking on the door, kept coming in.
And he could not finish his sentence.
Exactly.
He's like, how many people I got to kill? Or how many people I got to shoot? That was hysterical. It was so funny because with the other, you know, with the other Avengers, it's like, yeah, you know, it's just so serious. But, I mean, with the fact that, okay, we're dealing with the teenage kid.
Exactly.
And then these people coming into the room, you know, like, hey, Peter. It's like, it's MJ.
It's like everyday problem.
Right. It's, and it's like, Nick can't just, like.
It's like, come on. And I love this line. The next person comes in, I'm shooting. That was great. That was awesome. That was awesome. So, obviously, we see Nick Fury. He has some business with. He's been trying to get a hold of him for a reason.
Right, right.
So, he has business with Peter Parker. And so, they go to the secret lair where they're at.
Yes, and he meets Mysterio.
Now, obviously, you mentioned earlier about his costume and everything. Obviously, this is the first time you've ever seen Mysterio.
I've never seen Mysterio. Never.
So a lot of the comic folks have already been commenting about how that's been his look. And they're probably laughing with you how, yeah, that's how he looks, you know. But, yeah, Mysterio's been around for a while.
Okay.
When it comes to Spider-Man and everything.
Thanks for telling me.
What was great about this scene, though? Now, this is an important scene, though. When he's with Nick Fury.
Oh, yes.
And he first meets Mysterio, who, oddly enough, the kids called him Mysterio. They go, when they saw him in the news.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy's like Mysterio. And then they go, Mysterio. They came up with the name Mysterio. Huh? His real name is Quentin Beck. You know, but they go, you know, Beck's like, oh, okay, I like that name. You know, he kind of took it in.
Yeah.
But the discussion they were having.
Yes.
So two parts that I really loved about that scene was, one, they started talking about a multiverse.
Yes.
So obviously, for some of you out there, you're probably cheering when they mentioned the multiverse, because if you saw the animated Spider-Man, that dealt with the multiverse. So that's really cool. So I like the fact that it was mentioned, and there's a possibility, obviously, we're going to see some multiverse stuff happen within story.
Right.
That's excitement number one. Excitement number two, which is not so exciting, well, I found it interesting, was the fact that, again, we're talking about Peter. He's like, look, I'm just trying to do my European vacation.
Right.
He's all, and basically Nick Fury's telling him, well, you're the last Avenger left. And he's like, well, hold up. What about Thor?
What about Thor?
He goes, out of space. Yeah, what about this? And then Lovey goes, what about Captain Marvel? Now, this is funny. If Gio was here, I already know what he would say. So who cares? She's worthless. That's what he would say.
Yes, that's what Gio would say.
I think it's in future reference. We will talk about later on how, oh, you don't you dare say her name. And this
I
is that.
I caught that, yeah.
See, so I was like, why? Okay.
Don't you dare say her name.
Say her name like that. Like, all right, well, whatever. But, okay, so we see the game plan how apparently Mysterio is from a different multiverse.
Right.
And he explains to the folks that he's taking on these beings called the elements.
The elements.
So he's trying to. So obviously the first one we saw was wind.
Like right, said, that was wind.
Air.
Air.
And so the next one he's talking. And then when they were in Venice, it was water. Then the next one's going to be fire.
Right,
and
right.
What is so great about this is the fact that Peter Parker saying, well, no, I can't go with you to Prague. So, no, it's so obvious. It's me if I show up there and this and that. So I love how Nick Fury just took it all in. Like, okay, yeah, you're right. That'd be obvious if suddenly you're out in Prague. Suddenly they go back and their person who's watching goes, hey, we got upgraded to a trip to Prague. And it's like, wow, you just knew, and Peter's like looking, and he sees the driver's Dimitri,
who he just met
the night before. He's like, oh, great. He knows. So, but again, now what's key also in all this was also in that moment, Nick Fury gave Peter Parker a gift.
This is from Tony.
From Tony.
Yeah.
Now, this is pretty key.
That was so cool.
This is cool. And then when he opens the gift up, it's a pair of sunglasses or just glasses. You're like, huh, what the heck? But then once he puts them on.
What was that on the note? It says, it was such a great message, he said. Do you remember?
Oh,
I can't remember her.
You know what? Somebody's going to write it right
now. I
know,
but
somebody's writing
like
it right now saying, how could you guys forget it?
Be that a was leader. A bold,
That's a bulk of it. I know exactly what you're talking about, and everybody's yelling it at us right now. I already know it. You're in your car right now yelling it at us.
But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know exactly. The note.
It was like something like, and that note later on,
the note later on plays a part. What happens?
Right.
So yeah, he leaves him a great note, and it's one of those notes where you're like, dang.
Right.
You know, if you knew a good friend who just passed away,
right,
leaving you a gift, and it's kind of that note from the great beyond.
Right.
That would kind of freak you out a little bit.
I think so.
I think it kind of freaked Peter out, but then once he put him on, suddenly he has access to Stark technology, which is awesome.
Edith. And Edith stands for even in death. No.
Even death.
I'm the hero.
Yeah. See, so, and that's just classic. That is so classic.
So classic, Tony.
It's like when they did the baby program or something in the first Spider-Man movie. It's like all these acronyms are geared for Peter, which is great.
It's so hilarious.
You know, and that's what's kind of, you know what I kind of found about that? That's kind of like the scene in Iron Man 2 when Tony discovers the whole Stark exposition was something that his father created, and he looked at all the designs and how it was something bigger than just the expo. And the line he said, he goes, "You're still teaching me. You know, you've been dead. You know, dead. So many. You're still teaching me." See?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he's doing for
Peter. Kind of like, you know, passing it on.
He's exactly doing
passing
it, like
it
what
on.
He's, and again, somebody's gonna write in, dude, this is what he exactly said. Well, please, I'm just paraphrasing. But just the fact that he's doing to Peter what happened to him in a weird way. So that was kind of interesting. So he gets this technology, puts the glasses on, and lo and behold, look, he controls drones. He controls a lot of things.
Yeah, he's got access to
Stark technology.
He actually inherited all of Tony's technologies. He inherited it all.
His toys, everything.
I mean, really, he did.
And so what's he do with it? As a teenage boy, what do you think you do with it? I mean, if I was a teenage boy, I'd probably do something dumb like this.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, no, he had it on, and everything
was good when he first,
right? But then they went for a bathroom break. Remember?
Oh, yeah, before, yes.
They went for that bathroom break, and, you know, and then Dimitri, okay, everyone's, like, going here and there, and he said, okay, you go there.
Yeah, Dimitri is the driver. He met him the night he knows he's with Nick.
No, you go there.
You
and
go
then
there.
He goes into that room, and there's that woman.
Yeah,
just this tall, blonde woman. Mm-hmm. She's like, take off your clothes.
I know,
put
be
this
like,
on.
Whoa.
Take off your clothes. Put this on.
Yeah, but that's all she was saying. And
then Brad walks in
and
takes a picture.
You know, it's like, man, that's a total teenage thing.
That is a total teenage thing, but it's hilarious because that's where then Edith comes into play.
Yeah, because, they're competitive over MJ now.
Right.
He revealed it right there that,
hey, I'm into MJ I'm going to share this picture.
Yeah, so what does he do? Peter puts the glasses on. He's trying to figure out how to not have that picture get to MJ, and suddenly
the drone
launches a drone attack, which is awesome.
Oh, because is Brad the target?
Yes. And so here it comes, just gonna destroy, which is great. So, well, great for us. It's entertaining for us, but not for Brad. But yeah. So they end up in Prague, which is interesting because this is where the next elemental being supposed to come out, and they go to Prague and they set it all up where they're gonna be at they're gonna go to the opera.
Right.
Because it's like, wait, there's a big battle happening. First they were supposed to go to the festival happening outside.
But then all that water stuff happened. Right.
Yeah, so what they needed to stay indoors. So that's why they did, oh well, we're going to the opera now, which
was for the fire.
Yeah, for fire, which was in Prague.
Yeah,
the
water
was in Venice. So when they're going to Prague, you know, they're in there, and all of a sudden Peter obviously gets the call he's hearing in his ear that, hey, you gotta, come on, you gotta go. And it's like he's ready to sit next to MJ. He's ready to do that. And then,
he had an assignment. He had a mission.
He was on a mission. Yeah. So he had to leave. But then it's interesting, MJ follows.
Yep.
And of course, my son watching his boys back. My son was watching his boys back. See, I'm not going to say he left because the girlfriend wanted to leave.
Right.
No, that's what happened. He was watching his boys back, though. So they end up leaving. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, here comes the fire creature.
Right.
Now, beforehand, you know, you get the relationship between Peter Parker and Beck, who they started calling Mysterio. And you got a sense that, wow, you know, Beck is kind of looking out for him and things like
that. Did you feel kind of odd about that? Because he really cares.
This is bad. I'm going to say this right now. This is bad because I've read previous comics.
Okay.
Spider-Man comics. But again, I had to keep the perception that, okay, maybe this is different. This is probably different. Okay. So, they go up against the battle. You know, they're battling. All of a sudden, here comes the fire, the element of fire.
Right.
Beast comes up. And Mysterio says, no, you can't get him near metal or else he's going to be more
invincible. Even more powerful.
Exactly. So he's battling. But the funny thing is MJ followed Peter.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you see, this is great. It's not Spider-Man.
It's a it's Black Monkey.
Black or Night Monkey or something.
Night Monkey.
See, my son's trying to get my boys. He's trying to get his boys back, but he couldn't think of anything at the fly.
He's like, I know, Night Monkey.
I know he was up high in a Ferris wheel and he was with his lady, but he couldn't quite get it. He's trying to cover for his boy, but he's like, oh man, you know, Night Monkey. There it is. You know, but. Anyways, MJ's there, and then she sees a battle, and just something weird happens where something falls off when the Night Monkey is taking on this elemental creature. And so MJ ends up getting whatever that was, and it's all right. So, but then they start battling, and then at the end of the battle, lo and behold, you know, they win.
Right,
you know, they stop them. But Parker's feeling at what cost, though?
Yeah.
And the class.
Because of Beck. Beck was like, I'm going to do, you know, whatever I can here. So if anything happens, so he goes in. Then
it's like he sacrificed himself.
Right.
And here, let me ask you this. For a moment there, were you feeling Tony Stark endgame?
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
See?
I was feeling like, oh no.
Here we go again.
Peter's going to, I think that's what's going to happen. It's like, no, not again. You know?
And Peter's.
And I'm like, so then at that point, I'm like, is he going to die now at this part of the movie? Okay.
Yeah, see, so he's doing that for Peter. Like,
Peter
has seen this before where a guy who's mentoring him is going to sacrifice himself.
Right.
So, you know, it made him feel. But then, you know, they stop the fire beast.
Yep.
And then, well, Beck survives. So how about that?
Right.
So they're making big plans to, you know, they're telling Beck, you know, Nick Fury goes, well.
Okay, you're part of the Avengers now.
Yeah, and we're going to set
up. You can meet me in Berlin or London or something like
Berlin.
That. He's like, I think I'll do that.
Yeah,
you know?
And then talking to Peter, Peter's like, no, I just want to, I'm done.
Right.
So they're at a bar. He goes, let's have a drink. They're at a bar, and Peter's with Beck, and they're talking, and obviously like what we've been discussing.
Right. Then that.
He's a 16-year-old boy.
That's right.
He shouldn't feel like he's the next Iron Man.
And he didn't want to.
He didn't want that.
He didn't want to.
And now he's looking at a guy who's got his back.
So self-deserving. He's so
he's
more
been
worthy
through battles.
Than him.
He's been through all these battles. He's lost his family.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know what? And the key to all of it was when he put on the glasses.
Yep.
He gave him the glasses because he looked at that note.
Put them on.
He referred to the note that Joss and I cannot remember what it says. So you folks are like going nuts going, it said this. But obviously Peter referred to that note and thought for a second, goes,
it must be
for you and not me. Maybe because Tony kept testing him that, oh, he's testing me to find the guy, the person worthy of this, not me. So he gives it to Beck. You know, the guy got his back. He was coming from another multiverse. He suffered his family. You know, he done all this and that. So then, you know, Beck just goes, okay, fine. And the moment he put on those glasses, everybody knew it. He looked darn near like Tony Stark.
He looked like Tony.
He looked like Tony Stark. And, of course, that's what would click to Peter. Like, well, I think it was you. And that's why he's thinking out loud that, you know, Mr. Stark probably is testing me to find, not me, but to find the person worthy of this.
Right.
So he
But you know, when you say that in my mind, I'm like thinking, Tony's probably like, no, it's you.
Yeah,
it's you.
I'm
like
sure
his ghost.
Exactly.
I'm like picturing Tony's ghost right next to him, like, no.
I can see, you know, it would be great.
What if it, you?
would have been awesome if one of his armors just showed up and just kind of just
slapped him
or something.
No, it's you.
But, yeah, we were all saying it, and you kind of felt it at that moment that, okay, we get why he did it, but then you kind of start feeling, there's something here.
There's got to be more to this movie than the elements. Because I was like, really? We're going to deal with the elements?
Yeah, so
villains?
Peter gives up control of those glasses. Gives up Edith to Beck and even lets Beck get access to it.
Right.
And then he ends up, and that's the thing, Beck goes, you know what? You're right, Peter. Be a kid. Walk away.
Yeah. Just
do the kid stuff. Hope you get that girl. You know, kiss that girl in the Eiffel Tower. Do your thing.
He's like,
and
okay.
Heck, as a 16-year-old kid, this guy got my back.
He was so happy when he left. He felt so happy.
Relieved.
He felt like a whole weight was just off
his shoulder. I'm not responsible for that anymore.
I've done what I wanted, what he wanted me to do.
And you know, exactly. Like you just said, he's probably saying, Mr. Stark is proud that I picked the right guy.
Right.
To do this.
I just wish we should have. I wish we would have seen Tony's ghost.
You're just slapping him. So Peter leaves the bar, and lo and behold,
everybody in that bar was like, Yeah,
it just all of a sudden the bar looks different.
It's all a facade.
All a mirage, basically.
Everything has been a facade.
So we find out right then and there.
They're all disgruntled. Employees of Stark Enterprises.
Exactly. Going back to, I love how they're talking about key moments and goes through film history.
Oh, yeah.
Which is something you and I both love when they refer to the old film and then they show a scene and you go, oh, wow. But I don't think they were actually in the scene when the movie came out, but you kind of stop thinking, oh, wow, so they were there. So
right.
The virtual reality of Tony when you first saw it in Civil War.
Yes.
That whole scene where he's with... He's a young Tony Stark going the last time he saw his parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Beck was the one who had the technology for that. He was the one who created that, yet Tony turned that down. When the very first Iron Man movie, the reactor core, how Obadiah was all over this one guy, and it turns out this guy is there, which is great how they implemented these
characters. They're all disgruntled employees.
Exactly. They're disgruntled Stark employees, and they're like, we're going to get it back. And sure enough, they knew exactly what they were doing. So you just knew it was great how they knew exactly what to do. They're former Stark employees. They knew how to play it. They knew they had this technology.
Yep.
And all the images you were watching
were... They were all fake.
It was a mirage.
It was all a production.
Exactly.
It was all a production.
And Beck had an... You know,
It was his production crew. You had costumes.
Yeah, exactly.
You had sound effects.
You had
visual effects.
It was like, that's great. I mean, it's like they were doing a Marvel movie. They were doing an MCU movie, only live action. You physically could be out on the street and see it. It was hilarious
to me that he had the costume designer, the lady, steam press.
Yeah.
Escape. I'm like, are you for real?
Well, you got to get that hero look.
Yes.
The perfect hero look. And so that's just, so we obviously revealed that who the real antagonist in this movie is.
Then it made sense to me more. I'm like, okay, there's the twist.
Yeah.
Right?
See, so
there's a twist.
See, and what's kind of cool, Joss, for you, you didn't see that coming. Yet, for folks that have read the comics, kind of knew Mysterio. And that's why when the trailer first came out, a lot of folks saw Mysterio, what he was doing. He was working with Peter. Like, wait a minute, is he the good guy or the bad guy? See, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of felt like, okay, with the elements, I wasn't, like, sold on them. And now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, with Mysterio and, like, what's his name? Michael Keaton, right?
Vulture, yeah. Vulture.
Well, he was Birdman, right, in another movie.
Birdman.
But, I'm just comparing, like, the two villains, from the Spider-Man movies, where with Michael Keaton's like, okay, you knew he was all the bad guy, but you knew his reason was because of, like, lack of money, and I think it was related to Stark, too. I think he was
they were working on the Avengers Tower.
Right.
And they were the crew that was cleaning up. And then I guess the government came in and said, nope, we're taking over. And it's like, wait a minute, this is our job. We're supposed to do this. And so they decided.
Disgruntled.
Exactly. And it's dealing with Stark, too. And I like the fact that you pointed that out. The fact that, wait a minute, you know, there could have been other characters they went, but they went with Mysterio. It's like, okay,
right.
So we're good.
So I'm like thinking, when I think of that, with that villain, I mean, we knew he was bad to the very end. With this one, we were like, okay, he's an Avenger. But it was like, that's such a weird Avenger. That's such a weird superhero. And then it's like, okay, there's that twist.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, okay, now we can get with the program. Because I was like, there's got to be much more to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay. So it's this whole facade thing. But it's trippy. Because all his, like, special effects and technology with Edith, you mm-hmm. know, when he got Spider-Man, well, yeah, when that happened, I was like, okay, now my mind's starting to play tricks on me.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. With mm-hmm. all these visual effects, it's like, you don't know what's happening or whatever. It was just, like, trippy.
Exactly. So, Peter, finally, he gets the courage to walk with MJ.
Oh.
They're walking around.
Well, she said, yeah, let's go somewhere.
Yeah, so that he finally gets the courage, and I think it was the influence of my son. I always got to plug in my son. My son.
In his robe. Help. I was like, wait a minute.
My son is taking care of business.
But I was like, wait a minute. Okay, this is the mom and me. This is the mom and me. Why would he be in a robe? And why would she be in a robe? And why is she calling him to her room?
Yeah, why is that?
What is happening here?
I think we can say my son was taking care of business. I am proud of my son taking care of business.
He's like, coming, babe. I'll be right there. I'm like, yeah, it's like, where is where? I was like, whoa, why are you in the same room? What's going on here?
I'm just saying. I like how you picked up the mother and you picked up on that. The proud papa and me picked up on that. I was like, yeah, look at my son taking care of business.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, fine. But guess what? It inspired Peter to do stuff.
Yeah, so he's like, knock on the door, and then he's like, yeah, okay. So they actually went out together.
Yeah.
That was cool because, you know, it's like, yeah, they've been looking at each other, you know, and so finally happened. And he's like, you know, there's something I got to tell you. And then she just said, you're Iron Man.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
You're Spider-Man. And he's like, what? No, I'm not.
He's like, no,
yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And she brings up all this stuff that happened in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
She said, look, I've been watching you. And he's like, wait a minute. You've only been watching me because you thought I was
Spider-Man. Yeah.
And she's like, yeah.
Why else? Yeah, see. And she was interesting about the MJ character.
Right.
Okay, we need to discuss this a little bit at this point. MJ, we're used to seeing, like, if you've seen in previous Spider-Man movies, if you've seen in the animation or in comics, a little different. Obviously, with Zendaya being MJ, which is great.
Okay.
I think she's an excellent pick. She brings a different element
different.
To the character,
she
which
is
great. I like it. She brings the, you know...
She's not impressed with
the world. Not impressed. You could be the guy that, you know, hey, Flash Thompson drives the Audi and has all this money, but she doesn't care.
No.
You know, so.
She's always been like the eccentric, odd.
Exactly.
You know.
She does her own thing.
in the very first one, who was it? Was Peter Parker in detention? And then she was there because she likes to draw people in detention.
Exactly. See, so that's her. It's like, wait, what are you even doing here?
I just like to draw people who are in detention.
Exactly.
You see her sketching.
Yeah, and this is you. That was funny. That was great. But see, that's what I'm saying. They have MJ as a different character than what you're used to seeing.
The Kristen Dunst
where she's kissing Spider-Man
upside down bit.
Okay. That's nice and all. But I like this character because... What the MCU has been doing, in my opinion, is when you see a character that isn't your traditional character you're used to seeing in comics or animation or whatever in previous movies, is they let the character develop. Now, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, because some folks don't feel that, I don't like how that person portrayed that character.
Well, she's very different. She's like more closed off, more of an introvert.
Yeah.
Very observant.
That's the key right there.
Versus the other ones. You know, the other MJ, she's kind of, you know, like the parade girl, the popular girl,
the
girl next door.
Literally.
This one was, literally. But with this one, she was just very like, she's odd and peculiar.
Yeah.
You know? But and for us, we're like, why her? You know, she's just like interesting.
Yeah,
but it made sense. It made sense to him, you know?
Yeah, and he found her attractive, and that was great. But then, so when she pretty much...
She's like, but wait, I found this.
Yeah, played poker with him, you know,
and
he fell for the bluff. And when she showed him the technology,
then it blew up, and he saw the whole projection.
He saw a whole projection. He's like, wait a minute.
Oh, my God. And then he's like, I am Superman. What the hell? I am Spider-Man.
Yeah, so
and she's
realized.
Like, wait, no, I am Spider-Man.
Oh my gosh, she said, what? I was 67% sure. I wasn't quite sure, but so.
So now she's part of this world.
Yeah.
We're in our room, and she's like, got to turn around because got to put a suit. And then Ned comes in, and he's like.
That was great. I was waiting for Ned to go, hey, you know, I handled my business, so you want me to leave? Again, he's in the robe, too, right? Or was he in the robe,
I think he was in a t-shirt. Because he was like, so now him and MJ, he's like, so you knew, and she's like, you know what, I knew a long time ago. Uh-huh. Okay, I already had my guess a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then these two kind of, like, competed now for, like, who's like more in the end?
More
in
the end
like,
with Spider-Man and Peter Parker.
He tells her, he's like, you know, I'm still the guy behind the chair, you know.
Yeah, exactly. See, hey, my son has to, you know, hey, you're his girl and all, but I've been here since day one.
I knew about this. Like, there's me. It's like, okay. And then, she's like, yeah, she knows now. And he's like,
Okay. Hey, welcome to the group. Welcome to the group. You know, which is great. See? So, obviously, Peter realizes he made a big mistake.
Yeah, he's got to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because then, like, this whole process, his whole process is like, you know, he's just like, what? And then when he thought he was going to go with Nick Fury, it was a whole mirage again.
Yeah,
was just Mysterio. And it was trippy, too, because when you also saw that whole background thing, he's like, no. Bring it up here, you know, to that level and work on the drones. You could see, like, them just, like I said, in this whole production, like, this whole direction and stuff. And it's just like, dang, it's just this whole production. And then when they actually had that, you know, that battle scene, mm-hmm. it's just like, it was just trippy. My, you know, all those images, I was like, whoa, that was just trippy. I mean, we've gone through it, like, Doctor Strange, right?
Yes.
With their special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Or Ant-Man, right? They took it to the quantum realm and they had those images.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about,
right?
But yeah,
this one,
right?
Oh, this one. Yeah, it was because they were messing with his head big time.
Right.
So, which is really awesome because as Spider-Man, you're trying to take on your villain, yet the guy's messing with your head.
Right.
So.
Did you think Deadpool was going to make a cameo then?
That'd have been nice. That'd have been the perfect spot to put him in.
That would have been so trippy. Because, I mean, I was really tripping out with, like, all those,
you know, that's what I'm saying. Something like that, they could have done, like, little stuff like that.
It's awesome, like Deadpool.
Yeah, you know, so, or like what we mentioned, he could have done the little Rob Downey Jr. cameo.
Yeah.
That, oh, Mr. Stark is here to mess with them.
Right.
You know, I think they could have done that. That could have been kind of interesting. Like, they could have had Mr. Stark in there and, like, scolding him type of thing. You know, I knew you weren't worthy type of stuff, you know. So, but that whole scene, yeah, if you're on acid, you would kind of lose
it. That's how I felt. I was like...
If you were on something and you're watching that scene, trust me, you're going to woo, you'll be out there. But what's interesting how the scene ends, though, he ends up getting hit by a train.
Oh, I know.
And he's off to the Netherlands.
Oh, I know.
So what ends up happening, though, obviously, he revealed to who he thought was Nick Fury, but it was actually Beck, a.k.a. Mysterio.
That MJ knows.
MJ knows. His buddies know.
Right.
And so that's why he's like, well, I'm going to have to kill him.
Yeah,
so,
I'm going to have to kill these kids.
So they get sent to London.
But they're in Neverland, but then, remember, he can't use any cell phone device because he's being tracked by Edith.
He knows that.
So he calls the one person he knew he can trust, who shows up, you know, on a jet on Fields of Tulips.
Yeah, that's great. That was awesome.
And it's Happy.
Yep.
And that was cool because Happy was the guy. And I loved how they developed Happy as a character, you know, because, like, in the first Spider-Man, you know, Happy was always avoiding him. Right.
Oh yeah, well, she's like, oh, this
he's
punk
like, no,
kid.
This I gotta, kid, I gotta like babysit
this is,
him.
This
blah
is
blah
Tony's
blah.
Pet project.
Right.
Is what he treated him.
Exactly.
But now
he's like,
you do know there's a motivation to it too.
Aunt May. They noticed that butt shot. Okay.
Yeah,
when he called Aunt May and she Happy's like having lunch there.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm not here.
And I noticed that camera on her behind. You know, it's like, yeah, I saw Aunt May.
The greatness
of
Marissa Tomei.
I saw you, Marissa, working out with your squats. I know you go, girl.
Anyway, so Happy goes and picks him up, and it's great how.
I mean, yeah, that conversation on the jet. He was like, it was the one time Peter can finally, like, just break down
yeah.
to someone he knows who would fully understand how he's
and
feeling.
It was the right guy. And yeah. Happy knew exactly how he felt, you know, yeah. just the whole thing about how. And I like the line he said. He goes, you know, even Tony couldn't be Iron Man.
Oh, you know? That was so awesome.
And see, that was that so kind of helped Peter through. The fact yeah. that even Tony couldn't do,
no.
he, you know, to live yeah. up to that standard.
Yeah.
So what's great about this, though, is obviously Peter knows that his friends are in trouble and they got to get to London. But he's like, dang, I need a new suit.
Oh, that was awesome.
And Happy just opens it up and just goes, go ahead. And what's cool about this scene, and you mentioned it earlier, is that when you were watching it, I'm sure everybody felt the same
yep.
way. You're thinking of Tony Stark making a suit.
Yeah, because he was
and
like,
he did this, we'll take this and that.
Yeah.
And what was cool about the spot where you saw a bunch of suits.
Yeah.
There were a variety of actual
right.
Spider-Man suits. So the spider suit,
right.
which
like,
is
we'll
cool.
We'll take a little bit of this,
yeah,
of that.
I love that.
And
they showed that.
But they also showed it through Happy's eyes of what
mm-hmm.
he's
how
seeing.
How he was proud, how, wow, Tony, you picked the right guy.
Yeah, this is him. And, yeah. and like how he sees him, he's like, all right, I'll let you get in. I'm going to turn on the music.
Yeah, and then let's go.
And he's like, dun.
And yeah,
dun,
Tony
dun,
shows his age.
Dun, dun.
I love Led Zeppelin. Dude, that's AC/DC. Yeah, well, we were showing our age there. It's like, dude, come
and
on.
And I was just like, that's not Led Zeppelin.
I love Led Zeppelin. It's like, dude. But okay, so we got the big battle.
Yeah.
It's big battle time. So he's gearing up. And what's good about
awesome.
Spider-Man at this point is like, okay, I have to understand that Mysterio is going to do a lot of mind stuff on me.
Right.
So he was prepping up for that. He was gearing up his suit, which is great. Here we go. The big scene. Now, the big scene is happening in London because Beck's big idea is to do where he has these element guys show up
mm-hmm.
and he saves everybody. Yet he's going to kill a lot of people doing this. But he's thinking it's casualties because he's going to be the big hero and things like
yeah.
that.
And
he'll
be
praised.
Like, this is Avenger level 3.
Yeah, like he's going to do something even
right.
more bigger
right.
than what the Avengers have done.
Right.
You know, I, as much as those beings looked evil and everything,
right.
nothing like Thanos
no.
and his forces. So
no.
he needs to chill on that. Anyways,
yeah.
but okay, so we're in London and it's battle scene time. So Peter's doing his thing. But then Beck obviously controls the drones. So he has a drone after his friends. Now, what's interesting about this is how where they hide and everything.
Crown
and
jewels.
They hide in the crown jewels and things like that, but they're hiding from them. Now, let's preface this by saying when the class arrives to London, one of Beck's guys picks them up on one of those double-decker
oh,
buses
yes. Yes.
and stops right at the point where
yep,
he went
on the bridge.
On the bridge where they were going to get killed. You know, he was planning
yep.
on killing them there. And so from there, they start taking off, they're running, and Happy finds them. And he's like, okay, let's go. And then all of a sudden, the plane gets destroyed. So
yeah.
now he has to stay with them. He knows he has to protect these guys.
Right, right.
So they run around. They find the crown jewels. What was great about that scene, though, was obviously, you know, MJ's like, yeah, let's do this. And it's like, no, don't do it. But when they go behind the door, and everybody has
oh,
a
yes.
weapon. You know where I'm getting at with this. Happy has the shield. He picks it up and
he throws it
and it does nothing. And he goes, how does Cap do that? And I found that funny. I go, that's great because, yeah, really, Cap just throws it and it comes back.
Oh,
but then
I know.
He's like, how does he do that?
How does he do that?
So we get the big battle scene and Spider-Man makes it through all the mind tricks.
In his own suit. That was
yep.
awesome. That was so awesome.
That's
but
why.
He makes it through. He gets into the involved, you know, and he's just tying up all the drones. And then all of a sudden you see, you know, him just being, like, exposed. So
mm-hmm.
now Mysterio is exposed. And then he's still telling, you know, the lady, are you done with my suit? Did you
yeah,
finish,
the guy
did you
was
finish
so...
my cape? Did you finish
mm-hmm.
my cape? And she's like, no, it's not ready yet, you know.
What was awesome about this, too, though, I don't know, maybe people picked it up, too. So when Peter took the sign, the bridge sign.
Okay.
And then he had another piece of equipment.
Ah, oh, yes. Did it feel like Thor?
Exactly.
Thor and Captain
and
America.
Captain America. He's
yep,
swinging
yep,
it,
saw it.
And I'm like, okay. I picked up on that
yeah,
real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, I
said,
saw that too.
All right.
I was like, Thor and Captain America.
He's representing
America.
Both of them. That's
yep,
cool.
That was
so.
Cool. He actually, you know, at that moment, I felt like, yes, he is an Avenger.
Yeah. So
he was in full Avenger mode.
Exactly.
He
knew,
finally, he was finally stepped up and
he's
the Avenger.
Well, because plus it's his friends. He knows.
Yeah,
and he knows
yeah.
he has to stop Beck.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So definitely, so we go through the final battle. He gets through all the mind games, gets through the drones, and it was kind of cool how Beck thought he had him, but really.
Oh, but no, wait. Uh-huh. On that thing, we gotta go back to what is it? The Peter Tingle. What did he call it?
Yeah, they call it the Peter Tingle.
Aunt May's like, stop calling it Tingle.
Yeah,
stop
Peter calling it Tingle.
Because I was like, he wasn't experiencing that. Why was he not experiencing that?
See, that was interesting. We talked about this in previous podcasts in the very first Spider-Man movie, the Tom Holland Spider-Man
movie.
You never saw Spider-Sense.
Right.
The Spider-Sense never kicked in. Now, the first time we actually see it, is Avengers Infinity War.
Oh,
when the ships are coming down, all
then,
of a sudden
his hair pops up, the hair on his
arms.
Right,
wait, what's going on?
Right.
Yeah, they're talking about Peter Tingles, which is kind of funny.
But it's interesting because it's like, you know, he had to go before he actually finaled that final scene with him. He's, you know, he knew he was going to have like all that mind games again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he said, okay, come on, Tingles. Come on, Spider Tingle, exactly. Peter Tingles. And then he just closed his eyes, and then that was just so cool.
Yeah,
that whole scene going straight
to
him.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes,
right.
Yes.
It was just like
it was because of his spider sense
that
he
was like
able
so
to make it through.
Cool. Yeah. I would want to watch that scene again.
So yeah,
that was
really,
awesome. Really
and
cool.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people say I look like Darth Vader in in Rogue One.
Oh yeah.
That end scene in the hallway.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded folks.
But it was
like
so
that.
Awesome because he was just like, I mean, in that moment when he had the spider sense and all that, it was just like, it was just so automatic. I mean, then you can, you know, like we said that he's still developing, but it's like, man, can you imagine if he went full throttle with his spider sense?
Again,
like, that'd be so cool. I mean, he's still young.
Exactly. According to the movie, they're saying he's still a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's developing all this. So, he obviously defeats Beck. Everything seems cool. All right. So, Fury, you know, meets up with Fury and Maria Hill. And they talk a little bit with Happy.
But he gets his girl.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, he gets the girl. Finally. But, he was planning the Eiffel Tower. But, look, he had London Bridge to do this.
Right.
Which was kind of nice. And, you know, she was happy. And
he said, Happy gave me this.
Yeah, see, that
like,
was kind of cool.
It's like, oh, it's broken. She's like, I like it broken.
Yeah, see, so that's great.
A necklace, if you're wondering what
she's
talking about.
So that was awesome.
No, they're not sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
It was a necklace.
So with that being said, they're flying. They finally fly back home.
And then your boy.
Yes, my son. Here it is. So now we can say it. My son. Again, I am proud of my son. Look.
Well, on the plane, they come back and you see MJ and Peter holding hands.
Yes. See, you know, they're getting together.
Right?
That's
they
cool.
They got together.
That's
nice. They hooked up.
All romantic. That's
but then
cool.
Your son.
My son took care of business. What happens in Europe stays in Europe. Yes. My son took care of business. Like, we were cool.
We broke up.
It's all good.
Casual.
Exactly.
And then they're like, okay, well. Nice to meet you.
Exactly. They're
well,
like,
I'll see you in class.
We'll see you in class. It's all good. See, my son took care of business. Love it.
What happens
it,
in Europe
it.
Stays in Europe.
See? Perfect. 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 So here we go. That ends. So credits roll. Now, obviously, here we go. Always the parts that we've gone this long, and we obviously come up to the parts that are really significant.
Oh, yes.
So now we're going to
So the first one. Oh.
Here we go.
This credit scene, the first one was like, what?
So, exactly. So, before we get to it, the mid-credit scene, Peter and MJ, you know, he goes, hey, obviously MJ wanted to swing around with Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was
so
pretty funny.
That was kind of cool. So, he granted her wish, and he swung her around.
Right,
and they end over at Madison Square Garden, and the credits roll. Well, here we go. So, mid-credit scene. Now, this is what I love about Marvel with their mid and their end credit scenes is the fact that it's leading you to something.
Yeah. Like I said. With
okay.
Marvel. Right.
So all of a sudden, you know, it's all good. You think it's happy ending time for Peter and MJ. They're just starting out. They're dating and everything. All of a sudden, there's a big news flash on the screen at MSG. And
it's Beck.
It's
no,
Beck.
It's the news.
It's
the news story.
Who gives him a report that this video that Beck.
Mysterio they called him Mysterio.
That's right. Mysterio had this film and proclamation about, hey, this is what's happening. Spider-Man's attacking me and killing me.
Yeah.
But the one guy who's leading the charge on that,
the one guy who's leading the charge against Spider-Man, Mr. J. Jonah Jameson. And what's cool about it is the J. Jonah Jameson from the old Tobey Maguire movies. J.K. Simmons is J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes.
And perfect move to bring him back.
Yes.
And, of course, if you guys know J. Jonah Jameson, he is so anti-Spider-Man.
He is.
So, hey, Peter.
Yep. So here we go. He straight up just called it out. Spider-Man is enemy number one, doing his thing. Yep. And then in the movie, the mid-credit scene ends with Beck revealing that Spider-Man is Peter Parker.
Peter Parker, and shows a picture of
Peter. And it shows Peter's face.
And you see Spider-Man go.
He's like, oh, man. And then credits.
But it was like.
So before we get to the end scene, right. I have an explanation for that. So here's my thing. Spoiler alert on this. Okay. Now, a lot of folks are like, well, what are they going to do now?
But also, wait, I know you're going to say something, but yeah. It's interesting. The one point I want to say is that, okay, at the end of the first Iron Man movie,
mm-hmm.
Tony says, he contemplates, should I give my identity, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he said, I'm Iron Man.
Yeah.
Here, this guy got called out, mm-hmm. right? And so he got cut out. And so now it's like, that's Peter Parker. So mm-hmm. he got called out. And so it's like, now what? Now how are they going to deal with the fact
yeah,
that both of them, their identity is exposed? Now what?
Here's the thing. All right, we're going to go into a little cheat mode here. And for folks that have read comics, a lot of times before, Tony Stark would, to fool people, he would make an appearance and one of his armors would be flying around doing stuff.
Okay.
Now, in the comics, Avengers Initiative.
Okay.
This is... in the comic world where Peter Parker in the comic world in Civil War revealed he was Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Well, obviously, you know, we won't get into detail on that, but how they got him off the hook was there was another comic called Avengers Initiative where it was revealed where Peter Parker's like walking down the street and here come these spider guys, the guys in the Spider-Man armors, like what we saw in the movies. In the comics, they come out and they save some people and stuff like that. And they established that, no, Peter Parker is not Spider-Man. See, so I think it's real easy. He has Edith. So they're going to have the spider armor do an appearance where Peter's walking around. But I think that's an easy fix right
there.
But
then does he really have Edith? Because at the end of the movie, William Riva, one of the disgruntled employees, who was Beck's like IT guy.
Yeah.
He downloaded the whole Edith program.
So you'll have two dueling programs. And here we go. A little trivia for some of you folks out there, and I told it to Josh. Does anybody know who that guy was?
William Riva.
The IT guy. You got 3, 2, 1. If you saw the movie Christmas Story, that is him. He's Ralphie from Christmas Story. So he was the man who dropped the big F-bomb in his... Buddy got his butt kicked because he dropped the F-bomb when his
in the pink bunny suit.
So, yes, that was Ralphie. And, yes, he's in the latest Spider-Man movie.
That was cool.
That was great. Because I know some of you folks watching probably go, man, I know I've seen that guy somewhere. And then me watching, I go, man, I know I've seen that guy somewhere. And because it's a credit scene, you're looking through the credits and you see the name. So there you go. So speaking of credit scenes, now let's go to the end credit scene. So,
all right, big one.
Here we go. This is the big. This to me is the bigger reveal than the mid-credit, which is interesting. This is the big reveal. Now you see Nick Fury and Maria Hill. They're driving around in London in probably an Audi Q5 or whatever it is, and they're talking. They're like FaceTiming with somebody, and all of a sudden it's revealed that they're really Skrulls.
Oh, that was actually interesting because they were in the car, mm-hmm. and then they revealed it, and they were the two characters from Captain Marvel.
Exactly, the
so
same exact
ones. So now
I'm
thinking, you know, if he's been Nick Fury, and then he's having a conversation with Nick, right? And there you see Nick, he's on vacation on a beach, you know, in his beach wear, but then it fizzled out, and there's Nick. It's like it's like a virtual reality beach.
Yeah.
But in fact, he's up there in space in a space station with all the other Skrulls. He's like, all right. It's like he just had his stretch. He's like, all right, let's get back to work.
Yeah. If for folks, it'd be like Star Trek with the holodeck. It was like Nick was on a holodeck type of deal.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about that, a lot of people are like, whoa, what does this mean? And, well, I got to give credit to our contributor, Mr. Jesse Love, on this one. he's thinking, and I think he's onto something, and it'll probably be revealed during Comic-Con later this month, the fact that he feels now there's a tie-in with S.W.O.R.D.
S.W.O.R.D. S-W-O-R-D. Let's break it down. S means...
Yes.
S means Sentinel.
I'll break it down.
So S means Sentinel, World Observation Response Department. Did I say it right?
Yeah. Sounds right to me.
Okay.
If not, somebody's going to correct us. Somebody will correct us. But what's great about this, though, is it's like... think of it like the space version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But then somebody's going to go, no, it's not. Well, whatever. But the point being is Nick is involved with these guys.
Yes. But my question is, at what point?
Mm-hmm.
At what point has Nick been involved in S.W.O.R.D.? I mean, because that took a lot to, like, develop, right? But then, and I'm kind of now wondering, it's like, how often does he go up there, you know?
Yeah, and how often was somebody we've seen actually that person?
Yes.
Now? See, so
how many Skrulls have we seen disguised?
So again, goes to our contributor, Mr. Jesse Love, and the fact that he loves the comic Secret Invasion that happened back in 2008. And I think this may actually coincide with that. And also, this would be an excellent way to bring in the X-Men.
Yeah.
Bring in Fantastic Four. So now a lot of the stuff's going to be in space. Obviously, we know the Guardians took off with Thor.
Right.
They're out in space. This movie ended in space. So, and Captain Marvel is out
now,
in space.
If he's a Skrull, why didn't he want him to say Captain Marvel?
Maybe it was something personal for him. You know, you say Captain Marvel's like, whoa, holy, you can't bring up her name, you know?
Like,
so,
what was that about? I thought it was weird.
I thought it was weird, too, in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, so I think a lot of the action, we're going to see a lot of space stuff now. Even though the next phase, we're going to see sequels to Black Panther and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, those are coming up.
And, of course, the Black Widow movie, which obviously will be a prequel.
It'll be a prequel.
To what? And then we will probably find out what happened in... What's the place they keep mentioning when they're in battle? Her and Hawkeye. Bangkok.
No, it's in Europe. Berlin. No, it started with the B, not Bulgaria. It was in Slovenia. No.
Or something. But they kept referring to that. So I think we will actually see what happens with the Black Widow movie. So with that being said, we have all this going on for Phase 4. We're set up for Phase 4 now.
We are set up for Phase 4. And I'm excited. Again, when I saw Peter in that role, when he's finally with Happy, he's finally with someone he feels comfortable with that kind of put things in perspective for him. And he's developing, you know, he's got Edith now, right?
Yeah.
As well as someone else. But he's got Edith. He's developing into that leader. I mean, Tom Holland is a young actor. He could probably go, like, what, another 10-year contract?
Well,
maybe?
Let's see. Do you think Disney has the money for...
Of course they do. Do you know what they're doing to their music?
Exactly.
Have you seen Galaxy's Edge? What's going on down there? Of course they got money.
Of course.
But if Tom Holland, like, say, is on a 10-year contract, and he's like, well, I don't know, in his real age, how old he is. But supposedly, if he's a 16-year-old here, he'd be, like, what, 26?
Yeah, he could definitely
But,
work.
I mean, if we can go with him, which I'd be happy about.
Plus the fact that Happy's dating his aunt.
Oh, yes.
There
and
we
at
go.
The end of the movie, he's like, look. Been a lot of lies, a lot of deception. I just need to know. Are you guys dating?
One thing.
And it was like, yes.
Yeah, see,
but
so that's
also
great.
But then also in that, when Happy was with those teenagers and they're all revealing secrets, and then, you know, that one guy is like, yeah, you know, I just like to post things because I'm not so sure about myself or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then Happy's like, I'm in love with Spider-Man's aunt. And then they all looked at him like,
okay.
And he's like, well, I thought we're sharing right now.
That was awesome.
But then with that one guy, wait, Flash Thompson, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. This
so
is
let's
interesting.
Just talk about it, because when we start, when we say continuation, and we all know that Spider-Man has been revealed, Peter Parker, during this movie, you know, he's been saying, it's like, well, Spider-Man's going to handle it. And Mary just like, since when, you know, why are you so much into Spider-Man? You know, it's like, well, he's a hero. You know, he does all this stuff, but yet he treats Peter Parker like dirt.
Well, because he obviously doesn't know Peter Parker.
But then now that he knows, but also when they came back from the airport, he's like, you know, everyone being, you know, caught with their family, he's like, well, my mom couldn't make it, you know. So it's like, why did they add that piece to it?
Yeah,
so there's going to be something with that character in the third one. So I'm thinking my prediction is like, okay, does he become then part of Peter Parker's team?
I don't know. And I don't think he actually knows Peter Parker is Spider-Man. I know Happy said what he said, but I don't think Flash knows. Because the people that were there was Flash, wasn't it?
No, but it was like televised.
Oh, yeah. Now I know what you're talking about. Okay,
televised.
Maybe, again, they're going to have to do something where you see Spider-Man and Peter Parker in the same place.
Well, you don't think he's going to be the Green Goblin now.
Well, no, they ain't going to do it. Well, if they break out a goblin, they better do it right. That's all I got to say. But just, you know, the fact that I'm predicting I think this is an easy fix. A lot of people are like, oh, what are they going to... It's an easy fix.
Okay.
They're going to have one of these spider armors do a thing, and Peter Parker's going to be standing there like, okay. Whoa, look, there's Spider-Man right there.
Right.
See, so it wouldn't be him.
Okay.
So I think that's how they'll do that. So with that being said, that was Joss.
I think we covered it, right?
I think we covered ground on
this.
I
think we covered a lot. I mean, kind of closing up or wrapping it mm-hmm. up. I mean, I thought this was a good movie. You know, I mean, I think we had so much built up for Endgame that we're like, you know, so emotionally invested before we even saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, watching Spider-Man, it's like, okay, you know, just we're going on for that ride. And now we're gearing up, like you said, for the new movies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any new movies at the end of this year, but I don't think so.
No, I think they're going to go.
2020, right?
Yeah, 2020. Again, plans will be revealed in a couple of weeks.
Right. So. But I mean, we, like I said, Marvel has done a lot this year.
Well, they have the sources to do it
right.
now.
We've done a lot this year, but I thought with Spider-Man, it was cool. It was cool for him to get closure, how to deal with Tony's death, how to still be inspired, you know. And he is a protege. You know, he's a protege. So I thought the humor was good. Your boy still cracks me up.
Of course. I'm proud of my son. I am proud of my son. I am definitely proud of him.
But I just love the Spider-Man. I think I'm really into the Spider-Man. He's fun.
Well, what I'll say is this movie was kind of like Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah. When
it came out after Infinity War. Infinity War was the major gut punch.
Right, right.
And when Ant-Man and the Wasp came out, you were kind of like, oh, okay, here's a happy light movie.
Right.
Kind of the... But then obviously at the very end there, you kind of got that gut punch again. The reminder of what's going
on. Exactly,
exactly. Well, this movie kind of, you reflect on it. It was more reflecting on what happened, but now it's like, well, now what's going to happen now?
Right. It's like a segue. It was a nice segue. Yeah.
So with that being said, folks, leave your comments. You know, if you think we're totally off base, or if you agree with us.
Or give us more details that we didn't,
bring
up.
What actually Tony wrote in that
forgot. And was anybody else expecting Stan Lee? We all were expecting. Yeah. I mean, I was expecting Stan Lee to show up at any moment. I'm like, oh.
I was shooting for the RDJ. I was shooting for an RDJ, just a quick little, hey, he would show up type of deal. So.
Yeah, or another Avenger.
Exactly. So, with that being said, Joss, here he goes. Wrap us up.
All right. So, hey, if you like this, let us know. Like, share, subscribe. Share it with your friends. We want more friends. So, so we're going to have this on YouTube. It's going to be on my channel, Jocelyn RP. And follow us. Follow us on Facebook, Everyday Nerd Podcast. And then, you know, you can hear this audio. It's going to be on iTunes and Spotify, as well as our website, The Everyday Nerd Podcast. One word. Don't break it up. Just one word.
So, I'm your man, Lou P, along with Joss. We want to take this time to say thank you for listening, and we look forward to doing more for you later on.
Okay. Bye.